Take your Bibles this morning. Turn with me to the book of Matthew in chapter 6. And we'll be looking at verses 16 through 18 this morning. Let's begin reading with verse 16. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. The subject that Jesus deals with here this morning in these verses is a subject that we don't think too often about, at least in the spiritual realm, in the religious realm. It is a subject you don't hear preached much about. And I think that may be indicative of our hearts and the time in which we live. Put on the marquee this morning, spiritual fasting, ? That is not fasting spiritually. I believe there are many of us, many of those who profess the Lord Jesus Christ, that they are in a spiritual fast. That is, they don't think much upon spiritual things. But the question mark on there is, what is fasting, spiritual fasting, biblical fasting? Should we do it? Should we not do it? Fasting, and there's a lot said about fasting in the earthly world, in the earthly realm, especially in this day and time, and it's used as a means for dieting. You hear, especially today, you'll hear much about intermittent fasting. That is, you eat 6 hours, set 6 hours a day, whether it's from 10 o'clock in the morning to 4 o'clock, that you eat your meals, and generally they promote eating two meals, a hearty breakfast and then a good dinner, whether that be 10 to 4 or whether it be 12 to 6. Pretty much a time of 6 hour span that you set. And then the other 18 hours in the 24 hour period, you don't eat anything. They call that intermittent fasting. And it's supposed to aid in dieting and so forth with your body. That's not the kind of fasting talked about in the Bible. Biblical fasting is a fasting spiritually. Fasting, it is abstaining from food or drink for a spiritual purpose. Simply put, fasting is the soul Is the heart being so burdened, so weighed down, that it's more important than food or drink? Therefore, food is set aside, and sometimes even drink is set aside in order to seek God. Seek God about the matter that is pressing upon the soul, upon the heart. And when we think of that, then we begin to see, well, maybe that's the reason why we don't hear too much about fasting spiritually. Biblically fasting in our day and time, because we're not troubled about much to the point that we got to come aside from those things. True biblical fasting, as you look at fasting in the Word of God, will consist of fasting and prayer. It is always accompanied with prayer. Even when it doesn't say fasting and prayer, if you compare Scripture with Scripture, you'll find that there was praying going on during this time of fasting. So as we look at these three verses, verses 16 through 18, there are some things we want to note about fasting that Jesus gives to us. Gave to His true disciples and gives to us today, His true disciples, concerning fasting. First is, He addresses fasting in a wrong manner. That is, we would say a hypocritical fasting. He said in verse 16, He said, "Moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites." These hypocrites, the Pharisees, were doing this religious exercise, this religious act. But the implication is there that it was not God-honoring, and they were not seeking God in that fast. They were doing it to fulfill a spiritual duty. Well, we know something about that, don't we? How many times do we do something good? Something that we ought to do, scripturally, but we do it out of duty rather than out of a heart towards God. I think we see this illustrated in the Pharisee in the book of Luke in chapter 18. Because he said there in verses 11 and 12, he said, God, and notice he said, God. Our text says, our Father, your Father. But this verse, he said, God, and impersonal. Yeah, there's a God, I acknowledge there's a God, but no personal relationship with Him. He's not my Father. He's just God. God, I fast twice in the week. I've done my duty. Jesus exposes that they did it for the recognition of men, for the applause of men, that they might get a pat on the back. He said that they may appear unto men to fast. In other words, he fasts and he does it in a manner so that I'll know that he's fasting. So that I'll think good about Him, and He's spiritual. He must be. He's got to be spiritual because look, He's fasting, right? I mean,
come away from food? Why would you do that?
They were seeking the applause of men. When you give your alms, when you pray, when you fast, three religious exercises that he mentions. But he warns us, be not as the hypocrites. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't exercise hypocrisy in your almsgiving. Don't exercise hypocrisy in your praying. And don't exercise hypocrisy in your fasting. You see, these hypocrites, these Pharisees, they wanted to appear unto man to be very spiritual and to be very near to God. Jesus tells us something about these Pharisees. In the book of Matthew, chapter 15, they were coming and they were wanting to know from Jesus why his disciples ate with unwashed hands. Why they didn't wash their hands before they ate. Why, don't you know that is terrible, that is gross. I mean, you can get sick, you can defile yourself by doing that. And while it may be gross and it may be sickening, that one the intent. But Jesus goes on to tell them and tell them that they dishonor God and all that they do, so much so that he said, Isaiah the prophet prophesied of you Pharisees, saying in verse 8 of the 15th chapter of Matthew, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, he said. You see, they appear like they're doing a very religious exercise, and they appear like they're seeking God in a spiritual fast. Like their heart and soul is burdened, weighed down, and they've got to seek God about it.
God said their heart was far from Him. Wasn't in it at all.
He went on later in the 23rd chapter of the book of Matthew in verse 5. He was telling his disciples to listen to what the scribes and the Pharisees told them. But he said, don't do like they do. And why did he say that? Because all the works they do for to be seen of men.
Your good works, what you do from the Word of God ought not to be seen of men. That ought not to be our thrust. That ought not to be our primary motive and goal. But it ought to be towards God, because we love God and because we want to do that which is pleasing to Him, that He might get honor and glory. Amen. And praise. And so on in verse 27 of the same chapter of Matthew chapter 23. He said, woe unto you scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. For ye are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but are within full of dead men's bones and of uncleanness. In other words, that which you're doing outwardly appears to be right and well and what you ought to be doing, but inside you don't have a heart that's toward God. It's vile and wretched and wicked. God help us.
God help us that that which we do out of a heart of sincerity and love towards Him. And it will not matter whether we have man's applause or not, but do I have God's applause? Does God approve of that which I'm doing? He said in our text concerning reward, He said, "Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." What was their reward? What was the Pharisee's reward? What was the hypocrite's reward? What is your reward if you're a hypocrite? Well, the applause of men. The approval of man. Men who seek human recognition and esteem, they have their honor. They have their glory. There'll be none that awaits them, even though it was a right act, because it's done with for the wrong purpose. There'll be no reward for it. You got your reward here on earth. I don't know about you, I'd rather have the reward of God than the reward of men. Turn with me to the book of Psalms and chapter 49. The book of Psalms and chapter 49. And looking here at verse 12 of the 49th chapter, we read, "Nevertheless, man being in honor abideth not." He's like the beast that perished. You've gotten your reward from man. You've gotten glory from man. You've gotten the applause of man. It's not going to last. You're going to be no better than the beast that die, that perish. Look at verse 17. He said, "For when he dieth, he shall carry nothing away. His glory shall not descend after him." That honor, that glory that you get here, you're not going to take it with you. It's not going to follow you. Now, whose applause do you want? Whose approval do you want? You want man's? Or you want God's? So then, in our text, after addressing the fact that we should not be do as the hypocrites, he says, but fast in a right manner. Here's the proper way to fast. You see, true biblical fasting is the heart being so burdened with a matter that it becomes more important to seek the face of God. And that, even that which is necessary for the physical, for sustenance of this life. Biblical fasting is more than just abstaining from food or drink. It is doing so in order to repent of sin. It is doing so in order to mourn. It is doing so coming before our Heavenly Father in repentance, seeking grace and mercy and help in our time of great need. See, when we really understand what biblical fasting is, we can understand possibly why we don't do it. When was the last time that when was the last time that you were so burdened, so weighed down with my load of sin Oh, we talk about sin in the world today, and boy, how wicked it is. But how, when was the last time we were so burdened and oppressed and weighed down in our heart and our soul over sin in our life, our own life? Not to mention sin in the world. That we went to God in repentance, and we went to God mourning our sin. Weeping for our sin. Seeking His face. Acknowledging that, God, I need Your mercy. And I need grace to sustain me in this hour of need. It might surprise you to find that fasting, biblical fasting, is a duty. Is a duty. It's a religious exercise. As our giving of alms and praying, they're religious exercises. And in each of these, He doesn't say, He commanded us to give our alms. He commanded us to pray. Well, we are commanded to do both of those in other parts of the Scripture. Fasting, not necessarily so. But He instructs His disciples in true fasting. You want fasting that is accepted of God. You want fasting that is for the right purpose. He said, do like this. You see, His true disciples, if we in fact are His disciple, true disciple, we will fast. Well, I fast long enough to say grace at the table. And that may be a 15-second prayer. He said, moreover, when ye fast. He didn't tell us not to fast. He said, when ye fast. What's that imply? What's that mean? In other words, you're going to fast. And when you do, don't do as the hypocrites. Do like this. Give you the first example. And we could go to the Old Testament, but we've just chosen examples from the New Testament. That's what we're concerned about, right? We're concerned about whether it's in the New, right? Christ fasted. At least on one occasion, remember? Matthew chapter 4 and Luke chapter 4. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights. While he was being tempted of Satan. And said, and when he hungered, Satan came to him tempted. At the weakest point physically. Thinking, what's that tell me? Jesus was seeking spiritual strength. Yes. Spiritual. He was concerned about being pleasing to His Father His whole life through. We find that concerning our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Being concerned with being pleasing to His Heavenly Father. The apostles were expected that they were going too fast. In the book of Luke in chapter 5. Again, the Pharisees came to Jesus and they wanted to know how come Jesus' disciples didn't fast and John's did. And Jesus simply said, well, when the bridegroom's here, there's no need to fast. He said in verse 35 of that fifth chapter of Luke, He said, but the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken away from them, and then shall they fast in those days. From the time that Christ left this earth, His apostles fasted. Has Christ come back yet? Well, if He did, He didn't take me. So I know He hasn't come back because I know I'm His. Then what's that say about me? Because He's not here, I ought to be fasting, hadn't I? What I ought to be doing? I ought to be seeking spiritual strength. I ought to be seeking for Him to come back. I ought to be praying to Him to come back. Help me to be faithful. Help me be faithful to proclaim Your Word. Help me be faithful to preach the gospel to the lost, to those who are unsaved. Tell them about Jesus. Tell them their need is for Jesus. In the book of Luke, chapter 2, we find a woman of great age. She's about 84 years old. It says four score and four years. She was 84, and she had been a widow. She had been married to a man 7 years, and he deceased. And all the rest of that time, she was a widow. But she didn't leave off serving God. And said, serve God with fasting and prayers, night and day. You see, serving God and fasting and praying was more important than seeking another husband. She continued to serve God. Cornelius, book of Acts in chapter 10, Cornelius was a Gentile. Whose heart was towards God. He was devout. He prayed always to God. Well, Cornelius, in relaying his experience, he tells later on, in fasting. So he was praying and fasting. What was he praying and fasting? Well, the implications are in the 10th chapter that he was a saved man. But he knew something was lacking. And he desired that someone come and expound to him more perfectly the way of the Lord. What was he lacking? He was lacking church truth. He was lacking baptism and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. He was praying for that. And God said, I've heard your prayers, Cornelius. And you send to Peter. And you have him come. He prayed and fasted. The church at Antioch in the 13th chapter of the book of Acts fasted and prayed before laying their hands on Paul and Barnabas and sending them forth for a special work of the Lord, for a special work of the church. Showing us the seriousness of setting apart men unto the work of the ministry and the need for prayer and fasting. Paul and Barnabas in the 14th chapter of the book of Acts in the organizing of churches and ordaining of elders for those churches, they prayed and fasted and then ordained them elders. In every church of the Lord. In the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 7, and this might surprise some of you, but we find that husbands and wives are to pray and fast. They're to come apart from one another, and that there, spell it out, they're to come apart from the bed. Yes. From the duties of husband and wife. For a time of spiritual fasting and prayer. And God, but see to it, as soon as that is ended, and as soon as that need is met, as soon as the burden is lifted from your heart, then come back together. Why? That they be not tempted. Tempted to sin. Seek another man or seek another woman. Because I'm not getting from my husband or my wife what I need physically. In the book of 2 Corinthians, in chapter 6 and verse 5, Paul is telling some of the things that he endured for Christ. And he said, and one of the things in the list was fastings. Fastings, plural. And then again in the 11th chapter of 2 Corinthians in verse 27, again he's citing some more. And one of the things, again, was fastings. He was in these things often. For the cause of Christ, for the sake of Christ. He was desiring that he might be spiritually strong. He desired spiritual strength, that he might continue on in the work of the Lord, that he might press on in the work of the Lord, that he might be steadfast and unmovable and always abounding in the work of the Lord. Jesus tells us here in our text that fasting is not to be done in order to be noticed by humans. Our fasting is to be between me and my Father, which art in heaven. Not in order to be noticed by men, but to seek God. Not rendering my face unsightly. That's what the word disfigured down here means. They made her look all sad and forlorn. And even the implication is some of you find sackcloth and ashes. They smear ashes on their face. Disfigure their face and look all sad and forlorn. Not rendering my face unsightly, so as to say, look at me. Look at me, I'm fasting. But he said it is to appear, in verse 18 he says, it is to appear not unto men, but unto thy Father. Your Father which is in heaven. Your Father which is in secret. He's in heaven. Can't see Him with the naked eye. It is to come into my Father's presence for a very special time of prayer. I must have Him. I must seek Him. There's only one that can help. Brother Ron can't help. Brother Frank can't help. Brother Mike can't help. But God can. My Father can. So it's to be done to God alone, to our Father, and Him alone. I need to meet with Him. I need to meet with Him in a very, very special way. For it's in Him I am depending upon. I'm trusting Him. I'm depending upon Him. It's within His power. It's within His provision. He provides my need. He did not tell His disciples how often, but how to fast. We're not given an indication how often. How often is left up to me and the need of my heart? It depends on when my heart gets sober. Really, when you think about it, shouldn't it be burdened daily? Over sin? Shouldn't I weep? Shouldn't I mourn? Because of my sin? You see, the thing He governs and regulates is the how. I'm to be sure that it is for the right purpose. The burden of my heart dictates that. The burden of your heart dictates that. There's a reward. It's a reward that can't be taken away. Our Father, He said, shall reward us openly. He said, Thy Father, which is in secret, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. Same thing He said in verse 4 concerning alms. He said, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, Himself shall reward thee openly. And in verse 6 concerning prayer, He said, and thy Father, which seeth in secret, shall reward thee openly. We're going to have an open reward. Does that mean here? Well, turn with me to the book of Psalms in chapter 58. The book of Psalms in chapter 58. And look at verse 11. He said, so that a man shall say, verily, there is a reward for the righteous. Verily, He is a God that judgeth in the earth. There's a reward for the righteous. And who perform those religious exercises for the right purpose, for the right reason. Our almsgiving, our prayer, and our fasting for the right purpose. Book of 2 John. Book of 2 John. And in this, it's primarily concerning the false disciples and the false apostles. And He said in verse 8, He said, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought. Those things that have been wrought in the gospel for the true gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ. But those things of a religious exercise that are done with a heart towards God as well. But that we receive a full reward. You want a full reward? Let everything that you do of a religious nature, of a spiritual nature, be done with a heart that is right towards God. And you'll have a full reward. Because why? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. For we must all appear. We, the saved, must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. What's bad? Well, doing those things that are good things to do, your alms, your praying, your fasting, but you've done it hypocritically. That's bad. You got your reward here. There's not going to be no reward at the judgment seat of Christ for things done of that nature. But when you do it for the right purpose, with a heart towards God, only desiring to please Him, only desiring His approval, you shall receive a reward there at the judgment seat of Christ. Then when to fast? When should I fast? What is the occasion? Well, when we're truly humbled, humbled under the weight of our sin, as was David in the Old Testament, after that Nathan came to him, told David that the sin which he was hiding, he was not hiding from God. God knew about it. Revealed it to David. David said, and Nathan said, "Thou art the man. You've done this thing, David. And because you've done it, that the name of God, and the name of God is blasphemed in your doing it, that child that you've born out of wedlock is going to die. And I believe it was during that time of prayer and fasting when David fell on his knees and he was repenting in sackcloth and ashes and he was fasting. He would not rise up and eat. He was in mourning. He was in fasting. I believe that's when he wrote the 51st Psalm. I believe it with my whole heart. He said in that 51st Psalm, in verses 1 and 2, he said, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions, wash me, cleanse me from my sin." You see, it was weighing heavy on him. He knew that child that he loved, yes, was going to die, and was going to die because of his sin. My sin is great. It's ever before me. Father, have mercy. Wash me, cleanse me of my sin. In times of great sickness. Times of great sickness. Whether it's you or whether it's a loved one, a friend, someone you're close to, but it weighs heavy on your heart. It's a time for prayer and fasting. The psalmist David said in Psalm chapter 35, and this is in regard to his enemies. His enemies, in the 35th Psalm, makes it clear to us that his enemies were seeking his life and seeking to destroy him and to do away with him. And he says there in the 13th verse of that 35th chapter, he says, "But as for me, when they," my enemies, "when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I humbled my soul with fasting. My prayer returned unto mine own bosom." He said, I got down with prayer and fasting for them in their time of sickness. And references is specifically believed that it was concerning Saul, who sought his life. And when he was sick and afflicted, David went aside for prayer and fasting on his behalf. Then it's a time of prayer and fasting for greater faith. Turn with me to the book of Matthew and book of Matthew in chapter 17. And remember, this man had a son who was a lunatic. He came, brought him to Jesus that he might cast out the devil. His son might be whole. He said, Your disciples have tried to do it and have been unsuccessful. In verse 19 of that 17th chapter, it says, "Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, Why could not we cast him out?" Well, in verse 17, he said, "O faithless and perverse generation." That's what Jesus said concerning his disciples. "Oh, faithless." And now they're asking, "Why couldn't we?" And Jesus said unto them in verse 20, "Because of your unbelief." Well, now they were believers, but they did not exercise great enough faith to be able to cast this one out. He said, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, a very small seed, the smallest of seeds, if you have faith like that, you shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed yonder, and it'll go. Howbeit, he said in verse 21, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and fasting. The implication is there that we need to fall on our knees in prayer and fasting before God, seeking that our faith might be increased, seeking greater faith in which to serve Him, greater faith, faith that brings about boldness to preach the gospel to the lost, to the wicked. Faith that gives us boldness to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to the drug cartel who we've heard all those horrendous stories about and their murderings and their dealings with people. See, call for time of prayer and fasting. You want to be increased in faith? Fasting has its benefits. Has its benefits. It's the exercise of self-control, temperance. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. There's no law against self-control. There's no law against any of these fruit that are mentioned. Here, the Apostle Paul was in fastings often. Why was he in fastings often? Because he needed strengthened spiritually. He said concerning the body. He said he put himself under his body under him, made it to be in subjection. In other words, the implication there is that he beat it black and blue, beat it into subjection. To him. How do you do that? By fastings. Now we know why the Apostle Paul said he was in fastings often. It is the casting aside the cares of this life to seek something much more important. It's a humbling of the soul. We read there in Psalms 35 and verse 13 where David said, I humbled my soul with fasting. I humbled my soul with fasting. You see, we've talked all the way through this about it's seeking God. Seeking God. Matthew 6:33, which is in the context of this passage of Scripture. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first, before the physical, the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. Oh, that we would have a heart, have a soul that is brought so low because of the greatness of our God. In the sin that is in our life, that it would bring us to a point of fasting and prayer before Him. Shall we stand and have a song in closing, Brother Mike?